Welcome to the Three Drinks In podcast, episode number 102. I am your host, Vince. Over there, we got Phil.
Nope.
There's Phil. This is our end of year 2017 year in review, wrap up, recap, whatever you want to call it. We're taking a look at everything that's gone on the last 12 months and boiling it down to its bare minimum and what have you. I wanted to remind you all that we are available on the iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and TuneIn radios. Just search for Three Drinks In Podcast, and there you'll find us. Hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode, and while you're there, please, for the love of God, leave a rating, and maybe even a review. We'd really appreciate those, but the rating at the absolute least. Right, Phil?
Right.
Even Phil agrees. You can follow us on Twitter, at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. That's at 3 Drinks In Pod. 3 Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And questions, concerns, comments, sponsors can contact us at 3drinksinpodcast@gmail.com. That's everything.
That's everything.
All right. It was a hell of a year, wasn't it?
It had its moments.
All right. Take it away, everybody. Final podcast of the year.
I still got 2 Road to Ruins left. See if I can bang them out tonight.
Excellent. I have a glass of red wine.
Oh, classy. What's the brand? What's the type? I don't really care, but just say it. I don't know.
It's a Bastide Miraflores. It's French. I can't pronounce French words. Say it left me.
Okay.
It's a Syrah and a Grenache blend. It's a red wine from France. Vintage 2014. It's quite good. I like wine a lot. I haven't really drank a lot of it in the last few years. I've never had one on the podcast before, I don't think.
No, I think that's new.
This is the first time I've ever had wine, which is funny because I used to put wine down like it was the end of the world.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, yeah. You don't remember that. But I...
No. I remember the empty bottles and having to clean it all up. But
I will never forget that one time you and your wife had a friend over from college or something. And you were like, come on over. After dinner, we're having wine. We'll hang out. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I got to your apartment and like the 3 of you put down like 4 bottles each. You guys were bombed.
Yeah, no, that was.
I just sat there like, I think I'm going to go. Yeah, I kind of missed the boat on this.
Yeah, that was there was no coming late to that party. That party began at like 10 a.m.
Whoa!
Yeah, no, we.
I was only there for about half an hour. I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, we drank. We made a whole duck. We roasted a duck, and drank not a case of wine, but
close
a lot of
it.
Wine. I think I had 3 bottles myself.
Oh yes, it was close to that.
It was a scene, man.
Because you guys were like, have some wine. I'm like holding the empty bottles like, I don't think there's any left.
There's not any. This place doesn't have any wine.
None from a bottle you guys haven't used, right directly into your mouth. Can I get a straw for this bottle?
Yeah. No, but I used to do 2 a night alone. I would sit there and
too much.
My wife would go out with her friends and I would, I wouldn't have any plans. And so I would... sit around and I just cook something new and drink 2 bottles of wine and I'd be yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, we've all been there, right, everybody? I used to drink 1/3 of a handle of rum a night.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'd be sweating out. My bed sheets would be completely clear. You could see through my bed sheets. It was so bad.
It's a miracle we're still alive, everybody.
Yeah.
It really, kicking. Really is.
I'm trying to get to 1,000 podcasts now. 100? You call that an achievement?
Tell that to Keith Richards.
Yeah. What, did he just turn 74 today?
Did he? Is this today?
I saw a picture that, I don't know if it's today. I saw a picture that he was 74.
Oh,
and then,
man.
And then they had that question, like, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of a world do we want to leave for Keith Richards when we're gone?
His birthday was December 18th.
Yeah.
He was born in 1943. Good God, man.
Wow. Don't trust anyone over 30. Unless they come around again.
Good God. So.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, we're taking a look at 2017. It was an interesting year overall.
Overall.
Yeah. So, we're going to review the three best of the year, the three worst of the year, and what we're looking forward to in the next year, and then what we're not looking forward to. And one thing I want to see go away, which is ridiculous because it won't.
It's not podcasts, is it?
No. No, those are great. We should all... okay. Everyone should have a podcast. We all have a podcast each.
I think so. They seem to be multiplying. Now, are we doing the best slash worst of things that we've seen or of the year?
This is things I've seen.
Okay.
So, yeah. And as we talk, I'm going to have to sort of make decisions because I have several options. Way more than three for each category. So,
yeah, I just want to go on record as saying that you always do this where it's like, come up with your top five, your top three. I'm like, okay. And then you come up with like eight or nine. And I'm like, I thought you said three. You're like, no, this is part of it. It's a multi-part three. And I'm, I always look like a little jackass.
Well, I will.
Pick three, everybody.
I will say that I do have one honorable mention for the best of the year.
Well, I have a few of those, but
yeah,
they can't all be winners.
No, there's top threes as to go with the theme, and then one honorable mention.
Okay,
it's the red wine, everybody.
Yes, it's the tannins.
Don't want to rush those tannins.
We gotta breathe.
So go ahead. You're gonna start.
Oh, I am.
Because I said that before you did.
Damn it. And we're doing three best?
Three best of the year.
Okay, so my first one is Lady Bird, the movie. Thought it was excellent. Couldn't gush over it enough on our own podcast, so I don't know. I just thought it was really good and fun, interesting. You didn't feel like, you know, crap after it. It was nice to go. There wasn't a lot of explosions. In fact, there were none.
Which would have been funny had there been.
Yeah, there's just a lot of good acting all around, good writing. It was a good time at the movies. Me and the grandmothers in the theater were watching it. Number two was Spider-Man, the Homecoming. It was just a ton of fun. I had a great time watching that. You know, that kid is great at being Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Michael Keaton was great. It was even Robert Downey Jr., he wasn't really in it that much. I thought he was going to dominate the film. He didn't, thank God. You know, well, we did a podcast on that. And, you know, there were gripes with it, sure. But I can't remember the last time I was, like, actively happy to be watching a movie.
Specifically, know? Like, a superhero film, too. We do a lot of those podcasts. That's sort of like, that's all there really is to do. So it's nice when you go and you're just like, everything about this is great. I have no complaints as I sit here. You know, it's one thing to like sit there and enjoy and then come back and talk about it and go, yeah, I guess this wasn't that great. And I could grab about this or that. But like, yeah, at the time, it was just a lot of fun to watch the movie like that.
Yeah. Like they seem to be having a good time doing it too. So like that shines through.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And number three.
Number three, I had the third season of Fargo, which I thought was excellent television. I actively looked forward every week to watching that show. I thought it was great.
I have to get back to
acting.
That.
Yeah, that was the first season I had seen. Like I had a lot of people just keep telling me it's really good. You don't have to watch them all. Like the seasons don't connect. I was like, all right, fine. I'll sit down. I'll watch it. And it was way better than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
And the other seasons were good too. But I guess that the first one you ever see, you know, some of that is just kind of like, you know, it surprises you, and it loses some of that after a while. But I don't know if they're going to make more of them. I've heard podcasts with that guy, and he's like, you know, I'm not sure. It depends if I can come up with an idea. And I hope they do. But even if they don't, I thought it was still just 13 solid episodes of excellent television, or 10, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was nice to have something to look forward to every week. Doesn't really happen much.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, it's just appointment TV is something of the past. Like, I do that a bit with, like, The Big Bang Theory. It's like the one, you know, multicam can laughter sitcom that's still kicking. And boy, howdy, is it kicking. They're really, they're trying to milk that puppy for everything it's worth. And but it's like, oh, well, you know, we have one of these recorded this week. Let's watch that right now. But yeah, yeah. We don't, like, anticipate it, like, can't wait for more of this.
Yeah, or you just sort of, like, cram it all in at once. Like, even The Orville, I enjoyed, and I kept putting them off. Some got deleted because it was only saving five at a time. And I was like, I'll get to it. And I still haven't. I still have, like, two or three more.
Yeah.
But for Fargo, I was like, everyone shut up. Go away. I have to watch my stories.
Oh, I have to watch my stories. That's hilarious.
Yeah, with the blood and the murder and the mayhem, my stories, you know.
So, okay, good.
Easily my top three. That was three. And there were other ones. There were runners up, wink, wink. You know, Logan was on there. Third Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah.
Everyone says Get Out was a great film I never got to see, but even our sister, who doesn't go to movies that often, was like, turned to me with this serious face and was like, you need to see this. It was amazing. So,
yeah, it's a horror film.
It's half a horror movie, but it's mostly like a thriller or something like that. It's not pure horror.
Like, I read all about, so I know what happens in it. And
yeah, it's supposed to be great. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
How about you?
So I think I don't want to agree with you too much, just because otherwise this would be a very boring conversation. But I will say Lady Bird was probably like the surprise sleeper that sort of stuck with me for a long time, which is kind of how I know that a movie's good. Like, if it just kind of hangs in my consciousness for a while, I go, yeah, that was...
I can still remember a lot about that movie versus, like, Thor Ragnarok. Which kind of slid out of my brain the way butter melts off a pan that's hot. I was like, I think I enjoyed that, but I don't really remember most of it. So.
Sure. Let's just say yes. Why not?
Yeah, okay.
But Lady Bird, yeah, that was up there. And so that's number one. Number two is Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah. Baby Driver was good.
I really enjoyed that because it was an action shoot 'em up movie, but of a different sort. You know, it took the point of view of the guy who's generally not the hero of any story or the focus of any kind of story, even if it's a heist movie. He was the getaway driver. And, you know, how do you make a movie interesting about a guy that just drives a car the whole time? How do you tell a story with car chases? And they both did, you know, that directly by using the car chases to tell you who the guy was and, you know, what his relationship to the people was in the rest of the tale. But it was also just, you know, a good yarn about who he was, and all the supporting actors were fantastic.
Yeah, we didn't realize it, but we were watching the last film with Kevin Spacey in it.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, that...
Yeah.
You know, and I'm a huge Spacey fan.
I'm glad we went to see it, because... That's it.
They're not making any more of those.
They're not making more of those.
Yeah, it's like Land.
Yeah. One thing they're not making more of. So, yeah, I agree. I like Kevin Spacey. He's very good.
And you know who was also good in that? And, like, he's not an underrated actor by any stretch of the imagination, but Jamie Foxx. I think that, like, sometimes his movie starness gets in the way of how talented an actor he is. And even when guys like that do movies like Ray that are designed for them to win Oscars, because that's what gets you to win an Oscar half the time, is a mimic of something, of somebody else. Mm. And he was genuinely terrifying in that movie. Like, it's hard to play that kind of character because it's sort of one note. The guy that has nothing to lose and seems to be absolutely out of his fucking mind. And there's, you know, the other guy who did that really well was Denzel Washington in Training Day. Now, I didn't like Training Day because I was made so uncomfortable throughout the entire film because of how effective his performance was that I was like, I can't. This is, I mean, the story was all over the place, first of all, but like he was just so uncomfortable to watch. He was better, I think, in American Gangster, playing that sort of dangerous sort of character to be, you know, he was someone to be feared, to be sure. But there's something kind of compelling about that. You know, that kind of acting where it's just, you know, it's in your face, it's blunt, and it's very, very scary. And he did that really, really well. And then he gets a, he has a great, you know, he meets his maker in a very fascinating and abrupt way in that film. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely, and then it's a toss up right now between Stranger Things and War for the Planet of the Apes. I think I'm going to give it to Stranger Things because I think I liked the second Planet of the Apes film better than this one. And Stranger Things just continues to impress. And like there were complaints about like, oh, they're doing a third season and they're using a second season and they're going to use the same actors as before and kids don't age well. And that was not true about this at all. The kids...
That's usually true.
It's a very realistic thing to assume, but it wasn't, you know, they kind of took their ages into consideration and they did their best to, you know, physically make them look not too much older than the previous season. But everybody in it was good and it was sort of realistic in the way that like you don't expect a crazy thriller to be in a way, like just the way the characters behave and the way that the government is portrayed is like, it was just really good, you know, and it's not the same as like, you know, it's like you were saying with Fargo, like you watched your first season was their third season and it blew you away and the other ones were good, but they didn't seem to be quite as good. And part of that is the result of, you know, you lose your cherry to the first one and that's sort of what gets you hooked. And then that's your sort of, you know, that's your benchmark moving forward. And that's kind of how it was with Stranger Things. It's not going to be as good as the first one because the first one was so unique and it was right out of the gate. Nobody was doing this kind of stuff. Certainly, you know, the nostalgia factor was high, but not like punching you in the face. Like, look, it's the 80s. Like, yes, I know. I had the same bed sheets as that character. Like, fine.
Yeah. I get it. We have those toys.
Yeah, but like it was, you know, it was about the 80s, but not of the 80s kind of thing. Yeah. You know, very, very cleverly written. That I forget who wrote that line, but yeah, no, I have to give it to the Stranger Things. And my honorable mention, I will say, have you ever seen the show The Good Place?
No, I've heard good things about it.
It's really funny and it's really different. And I'm not a huge Kristen Bell fan, but she's sort of like unabashedly doing her thing here. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that's really weird and funny and hilarious. And it's about a woman who, really, it's about a guy who designs an afterlife. That's his job. He's like an angel or some such thing. And he says that this is his first time designing like a community up in heaven in the good place. And most everybody is down below in the bad place. And, but he stinks at it. And so he makes an error in bringing more than one person up to the good place that shouldn't be there. And it begins to screw with things. So there's like an unseen logic to how the whole thing is sort of shapes out. And it spurs the main character, played by Kristen Bell, to, well, she's like, well, I'm here by accident. How do I make the most of this so we can move forward and I can stay here because this is great and the bad place sounds just terrible. Mm. And it's very clever. And that's enough sometimes, is that something is just clever and you don't need to, you know, worry about the depth of it and just like, oh, that's an interesting way of looking at this particular thing. So yeah, Lady Bird, Baby Driver, Stranger Things, and as a runner-up, The Good Place. Ted Danson, by the way, he's still really funny. He's been funny in everything he's ever been in.
No, he's great.
I mean, maybe not so much CSI.
Well, he wasn't supposed to be funny in that.
No, he wasn't?
No.
It's like one of the best jokes on SNL I heard back in the late 90s was that there's some, you know, like, fake movie reviewer. I think it was Sherry O'Terry. He was talking about Good Will Hunting. And they're saying, Robin Williams, not funny in this. Everyone's like, but he wasn't supposed to be.
No, that's right. No,
didn't enjoy it.
Didn't like that. No.
Not funny at all.
Yeah, that was good. All right. So we're moving on to the worst?
Yes.
Okay.
This was a longer list.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you go first this time. Three now. Just three.
All right.
He's made a decision, folks. It's like choosing a putter. The face you have is just so much concentration.
It's tough. All right, number one is going to be Star Trek Discovery. I think let's just get that out of the way because
I think I want to get out of the way that I'm a little disappointed you didn't get me a Star Trek Disco T-shirt for Christmas.
Do they sell those?
Yeah. They were wearing them on the ship, and for whatever reason, it just says Disco. And I was like, oh, maybe it says Ovary on the back. No, it just says Star Trek Disco. I don't know. They were wearing them in the show.
No, I was joking because, of course, they sell those. That's the entire reason that they were on the show, was so that
they
could sell
them. But they make no sense.
You know what my favorite T-shirt was that I owned for like 5 minutes, and I can't figure it out? It was from a commercial for 7-Up.
Oh, make 7-Up yours?
Yeah. So there was the slogan this is 20 years ago, make 7-Up yours. And so this guy, became famous comedian. His joke was he was standing on like a freeway as like a walking billboard for 7-Up. And the front of his shirt said, make 7. And on the back, it just said, up yours.
Yeah.
And that was before things like if you found those things later, like, oh, I found this shirt. It's great. Like, but now you could find that in like 10 minutes if they made that commercial now. But like, yeah, the second I saw those Disco jogging shirts, I was like, oh, they're going to sell the crap out of those. All you losers who like that show.
I just don't get the shirt. Anyway, well, why is the show so the worst for you?
Oh, just because it fails on every level that we've already gone into in such excruciating detail. You know, in execution, in acting, in writing, in direction, in production design, and it is a slap in the face to people who were looking forward to new Star Trek. And, you know, I guess I kind of have to temper my criticism a lot of the time with this, you know, the fact that I'm not afraid of new things, and I'm sure people who listen to us maybe roll their eyes at me and they go, well, he just wants more of the old stuff. That's why he likes the Orville so much more. But, you know, you and I were talking about the Orville yesterday kind of casually and saying that, like, yeah, we like it and we're watching it. But, like, you know, we've got episodes locked on the DVR we just haven't gotten to because nothing is driving us to watch the Orville. It's fun. It's certainly familiar. And that's what's, you know, what's kept us engaged. And certainly I had no expectations for that show to be any good at all. And then it was. But it was good because it wasn't anything new. It was just something that I was used to, and it's like old leather, you know. It was comfortable, and it had a not too inappropriate dick joke every so often, and so I'm not afraid of new stuff. I just want it to be good. Use that universe if you really want to, and you know, but I have to believe that if they were making more competent television, in that environment, I'd be okay with it. I'd, you know, I'd point out to people, oh, this is not Star Trek, or this is different, and, you know, this is unusual, but it might be enjoyable. You know, I'm not, and we're going to come back to this when we talk about the one thing I want to change for 2018, but, like, I'm not so locked into this that I can't recognize objective quality. I think you and I have worked pretty hard to make sure that we do that whenever we can. If things are not our cup of tea, we can say when it's, you know, this is still good.
Yeah, like it bothered me the most that Green Lantern was a bad movie. I love that character. But it wasn't a good film by any stretch. Yeah. And I had no problem saying that. Even when we walked out of the theater, I was like, whoa, that wasn't good. Sorry, I dragged everyone to see it. So, yeah, you try to maintain a level of objectivity. It's the only way to really critique anything.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just some whining fanboy who likes Star Wars too much. You'll defend anything.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so there's that. Number two, Lego Batman.
Yeah.
This...
it's one of mine.
Yeah, this earned the second slot because the first Lego Batman, or the first Lego movie, rather, was so good and so clever, and it hit all the right nostalgia, you know, pressure points that, you know, and it made sense to have a mishmash of characters and people, and it was really, really clever. There's that word again. And this movie was just not. This was a kids movie that they, you know, they tried to market it to as many adults as possible, trying to say, hey, you know, you recall that thing you saw 3 years ago that was funny, right? Well, this is just like that, but with Batman, you know, centered. And it wasn't. This is a kids movie. So I'm frustrated by the marketing department for trying to sell me on something that wasn't really for me. And I'm not saying that, like, kids wouldn't enjoy. I'm sure they would. But I sure as shit didn't. And I was annoyed that that's what they were trying to do. Mm-hmm. So, and then number three, I'm going to give number three to the Netflix Gilmore Girls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little bit of a curveball there. So, like everything, including Mad About You. Did you hear this?
Yeah, Mad About You.
Getting rebooted. Did anybody like Helen Hunt? I don't think so.
Oh, mom and dad watched that show.
Yeah,
everybody's mom and dad watched that show.
Yeah, it's true. Paul Reiser, I think, was great. And he was actually in Stranger Things this past season. He was still very good in that. So the Gilmore Girls was, for those unaware, ran in the 2000s, and my wife and I binge-watched the entire run about a year ago. And it got to the point where the theme song, which is what's her name? Shit. Anyway, famous. You can look that up for me as I talk, and I'll figure it out. But it was a really interesting story about a woman and her daughter, and it was a single mom, and she was pregnant at 16, and she was from, like, a very wealthy family, and ends up moving to a small town in Connecticut, and raises her daughter in this really sort of odd that it's New England, because it seems so small townish. But
Carole King song?
Carole King, yeah, thank you very much. Anyway, so it's about how these two people, a mother and a daughter, grow up and come to terms with this thing. I think it starts like her freshman year of high school, and it goes on through college. And it's not a great show. It's like a soap opera, and it was for teens and preteens and what have you. And it, you know, sort of Dawson's Creek-y, but it was interestingly written and performed. And Lauren Graham played the mom, and she was really good. Alexis Bledel was not quite as good, but she was a kid, so what can you do? And they get a reboot on Netflix, just four, like, two-hour episodes covering a single year, so many years after the fact, with these characters. And since the series was fresh in our minds, going right into that, it was really sort of embarrassing what they did to it. Because the whole pretense of the show was that the kid, the daughter, was basically a genius. And the mother, the whole thing is that the mom is estranged from her parents, who are wealthy Hartford billionaires through, you know, they you know, like everybody in Hartford, they made their money in insurance. And she's estranged from them, but she, you know, is in contact with them. And she needs money to send the kid to a private fancy school so she could go to Harvard or Yale or whatever else it is. So the entire show is predicated on the fact that this is a wunderkind. You right there?
Yeah, I dropped the lid of my beer. Continue, it's fine.
She's a wonder child, and they need they need to patch up relationships with the grandparents to get the money to send her to the fancy prep school so she can go to the fancy college. Education is a huge aspect of this show, and the last episode of the entire series, all of this, the seventh season, is the big party that the town throws the kid when she goes off to, she graduates Yale. She goes off into the real world. She's going to go work for CNN or whatever. She has a job, and it's a big one, and it's gonna catapult her into the next level. Well, you come back 10 years later, and she hasn't done anything. And the entire four episodes are about her moving back home with her mom and living in her old room and getting a job at like the local town, whatever. And everyone's surprised and disappointed. And I'm like, okay, I get that that's a theme that people, you know, are experiencing in their own lives. A lot of 30-somethings are still living at home and they're having a hard time, you know, transitioning into the workforce, and it's like the whole millennial thing. But this is, you know, you're betraying the entire crux of your show just to, you know, do a silly 4-episode arc on Netflix. It was just like all of these things are bad. All these reboots of TV shows, there's not a good one in the bunch. But this was so fresh in my head that we had just gone from one, and then now we're going to watch them now 10 years later. And it was like, oh, this is just stupid. So, yeah, that was a bummer. And my honorable mention for the worst is something called Mozart in the Jungle.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's an Amazon show that literally doesn't do anything.
Okay.
It's filled with, you know, top-notch actors and I think decent screenwriters. But we watched like 5 or 6 episodes and nothing ever happened. And so we just sort of like, yeah, this is dumb.
So wait, what were the three again? There was Lego Batman.
So there was Star Trek Discovery, Lego Batman, and the Gilmore Girls were my top three, with my honorable mention or dishonorable mention being Mozart in the Jungle.
Right. Star Trek, I forgot.
Yeah.
It's double IPAs.
Yeah, no, sure.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I could have thrown in there like Justice League or whatever, but like we talked about how crap those things are. I figured this is other things I've been watching that I haven't bothered to talk about because you didn't watch them and I didn't really want to make you watch them. So
I wasn't going to watch Gilmore Girls for all the money in the world. So yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Your turn. Okay, so my turn. The worst three. Well, I also had Lego Batman. It was really just disappointing. I sat there bored out of my mind. Like, wow, this is one, not that funny. Two, not for me. Like, you're right. It's clearly for children. I dragged my poor wife to see it because she liked the Lego movie too. And we just sat there like, when is this going to be over? Like, it felt long. So that was a bummer. And then they made another one, the Ninjago movie, and it didn't even make a blip on anyone's radar, you know, diminishing returns.
Well, that was really niche. That was just for kids. I think they knew that, too.
Yeah, because I was just like, you know.
I mean, Batman's got a pretty wide appeal.
Right. And the first Lego movie, everyone's played with, you know, generic Legos, or they had the one set, like the Spaceman, or you know,
the Spaceman, yeah.
the pirates and stuff. The Ninjago thing, I think, came out much, much later. They didn't have that when I was little, so I never played with Ninjago Legos. You know, so I'm not going to go, no nostalgia factor there. Like, I didn't care about that. And I'm sure most people didn't, so that was definitely for kids. number two, I had The Defenders, which...
I had that on my list, and I'm looking at all of them, like, oh, I forgot that's right in front of my face.
Yeah, yeah. Not, I'm told not as bad as Iron Fist, but I didn't watch Iron Fist. And what I saw of Iron Fist in The Defenders made me go, I am very glad I didn't watch that show, because it was awful. He was awful. All the supporting characters around him were awful. I was going to watch 13 episodes of that, so...
Yeah.
But The Defenders itself was just so disappointing and bleh.
Yeah, I mean, there's an argument to be made from both a creative and a financial standpoint that the Justice League is certainly the worst of the year because of the, you know, of the dick punch that it does to Warner Brothers, and how, like, it puts them like 1 mile closer to being subsumed into the Disney universe following Fox. Mm-hmm. And then The Defenders, because of just how great Daredevil's first season was. I mean, really, really great. And everything that has followed has been progressively worse. And the only reason that The Defenders wasn't as bad as The Iron Fist was because Charlie Cox was in The Defenders.
Right.
And he was, you know, he's the glue that holds the whole thing together, because his character is A, better, and he's a better actor than everybody.
Yeah, they got to get some better writers on there, better showrunners, you know. And
it's like they don't care. Is that how you feel too? Like, cause
no, it's that it's hard, and they don't have people that know how to do it well.
Okay, I hope you're right.
The guy from the first season of Daredevil left. He left the show after that first season. The showrunner makes all the difference in the world. It's like The Walking Dead. Walking Dead is in the middle of their eighth season, and the show has never been worse. I don't watch it. According to everyone on the internet, it's just awful. And the things that I hear that they do and the decisions they make are just like baffling, you know. But the first season was excellent because it was Frank Darabont.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Okay, so when you hire someone like that, and then you hire, you know, some Yahoo, you know, I mean, the guy works in Hollywood, obviously, but he doesn't do as good a job, and it shows. No matter how good an actor and how good the sets and how much money you throw in the makeup, I mean, it doesn't help.
I wonder if this is an issue of just there's not enough, you know, like with every pro sports league, there's just not enough talent to fill up the rosters. I mean, used to be you had three networks and like everything was great because there were only 48 people in Hollywood who were talented and they were all busy on these shows. Wow. Now there's one niche after another is being served by something, and there's not enough talent to go around. We see that on the screen with the acting. That's obvious, but we don't see behind the scenes, and I wonder if that's a large part of this.
I mean, I think it is. It's funny to me how even with sports... that's not something that comes up very often. People don't want to seem to admit that. Our father said it all the time, but you never hear sports people say it. You know, like in baseball. I used to kill our father. Some teams were always bad and the Yankees were always good. There's 30 teams. That's just too many. To all be at the same level and caliber is just not feasible. You know, and I think it's the same with acting and directing and all that other stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, Columbia University churns out writers out of their writing program and their MFA every year. And I couldn't tell you a single name out of any of those people.
Yeah.
You know, how many of those people got published and became famous and things like that? So
yeah, everyone's just trying to make money. Columbia and, you know, Disney and, you know, Netflix.
Yeah. So it's hard to get those talented people on everything. And then a lot of those people don't want to do that stuff. You know, I'm sure that really, you know, who's that guy that's Daniel Day-Lewis doesn't want to be Daredevil. So, you know,
but he'd be great though, wouldn't he?
He'd actually run around fighting crime at night, I'm sure, with a blindfold.
He would blind himself, I think, yeah. And then because he's that committed to the bit.
Yeah. So that's one reason. And number three, anyway, back to, yeah, number three, I had Beauty and the Beast.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was awful. And I hated every second I was watching it. I found it offensive.
Oh, okay. Show your work.
Yeah. Okay, well, I...
Because I saw it, and I didn't like it, but I didn't... It wasn't, like, particularly bad. It was just like, yeah, this was made better before. Like, there's a better version of this available, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with the movie is that there was a cartoon version that was damn near perfect. I mean, that almost won an Academy Award for Best Picture, for God's sakes. It was so good.
It was so good.
Music was so good. You know, they had actors who could sing. I mean, Ewan McGregor can't sing.
No.
And the guy that they hired to sound like him couldn't sing. And then, as your wife pointed out, she, you know, because she's seen the Broadway play, that there were songs that they added in just so they could win an Oscar for Best New Song. Like, they just, like, I'm like, why is there a song now? And then your wife was like, oh, they just wanted to get an award for that. I was like, oh, all right. I thought Luke Evans, or the guy who played Gaston, wasn't very good. And
yeah, he pops up every now and again. He's in a bunch of little things. Yeah, British
he's
actor.
Okay. He just, I didn't see him very well as that character. Josh Gad was horrendous.
Yeah, by the way, Josh Gad's not talented, everybody. I don't know why you all think he's talented. He's not.
Well, he did the whole thing with the gay LeFou.
Is that what that was? I was half paying attention. My students watched this in class a few weeks ago. And I was like kind of like working and watching it at the same time. And I'm like, what is this? Is he supposed to be gay? Is that a thing? Is that happening?
Is he supposed to be gay?
Again, not really paying attention.
Oh my God!
I will say
Daniel Day-Lewis could tell you he's gay.
I will say that it was obvious that there was no sort of emotional resonance with this movie. Whereas
it's just a lot of fluff.
Yeah, I remember being sort of really captivated by the cartoon. Like, there's the scene, like, the song Be Our Guest is it's a great song. It's a wonderful song. And there's this line that Lumiere gives when he's sort of setting the scene. We proudly present your dinner. And, like, it's so goofy and silly, but he sells it so strongly. And, like, you're really pulled, and like the camera is a tight shot on the fucking candle's face, and you're like, you kind of lean in like forward on, like on your chair, and then you're getting closer to the screen. He's like, what is he gonna do? And then they put on this whole big, you know, show stopping end of act one number.
And it's Jerry Orbach for you.
And Jerry, I mean, like, and Angela Lansbury's still alive. Why couldn't they get Angela Lansbury? I mean, for Christ's sakes. But like,
Emma Watson can't sing either.
No, she cannot. So like, everything was inferior. Not just because, I mean, it's sort of a double whammy. It's inferior because it's bad, and it's inferior because there's something else that is the carbon copy that's so much better that you sort of get hit for both things at the same time. And I'm not sure if that's fair, but you wanted to make this movie, so...
Hey, it's their own company. It's not like they didn't know about it.
We didn't force you to do this, people.
Yeah, it's not like, we have to come up with our own version of this, only it's live action. It was Disney going, how can we make more money off of something we already did?
Yeah. I will say that in the same vein, I didn't hate The Jungle Book.
Well, that's a different movie.
Right, but it's the same idea. It's a Disney movie that they're remaking.
Yeah.
And it has the benefit of being a movie from the 60s that's getting remade. And, you know, that was good, that movie. There were parts of it that I absolutely hated. But, like, on the whole, it was a better offering than this was.
Yeah, the only problem with that movie was that the songs were too random. Like, Beauty and the Beast was clearly a musical, even the live version. It was songs at the appropriate times to set the mood, whereas in the Jungle Book, it was mostly just a regular movie, and then every so often, a character would start to sing, and you'd be like, why is this guy singing now?
And
why is Christopher Walken singing?
Yeah, they did. That almost killed the movie for me.
Yeah.
That was so bad. But also because the Louis Prima version from the original was such a great song.
I can argue with that.
Yeah.
It's perfect. So those are my three. The Defenders, the Lego Batman, and the Beauty and the Beast.
All stunk. Right.
They stunk. That's the sound, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Things you're looking forward to next year?
There were things I actually didn't know were coming out next year that I found out about when I did some research for this. So the Avengers, the Infinity War is sort of like, you know, by law, I have to say that I'm excited about that. The Incredibles 2. Very excited about that. Brad Bird is at the helm again. And I don't think I've seen a Brad Bird film I didn't like. I think I can think of two. I like both of them a lot. And then the third one is a toss-up between MI6, which I knew was coming out because of Henry Cavill and his mustache.
Yeah.
But they're also making a Venom movie with Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy? I think it was a good choice for that.
Yeah, because Tom Hardy is not bad or anything. He's literally good in everything, even in movies where you can't hear him, like, you know, Batman.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's, I mean, I don't know anything about it, but the poster looked kind of crazy. It looked really serious and insane. And Tom Hardy brings a lot of Tom Hardy, you know, with him wherever he goes. He's seems to drive a lot of projects in the same way that like a lot of big British actors do, like Christian Bale. They don't tend to latch on to things that are crap. Mm-hmm. Like Michael Fassbender jumped on the Assassin's Creed bandwagon, and that didn't, from what I'm told, was not very good. So he's not quite of that ilk where he's, you know, he commands enough either star power or just don't give a fuckery. And like, I'll walk off this, and I, you know, you can sue me, and I won't care because I'd rather do that than make a bad picture. Mm. So I've kind of got a feeling that that might be at least interesting, if not good. So I'm going to say the Avengers, the Incredibles 2, and Venom, with a runner up with MI6, just because, you know, those movies are always kind of they're worth seeing.
Yeah,
you know, Tom Cruise is going to make them until he drops dead.
Yeah, really.
Which Simon. Might happen on set. Yeah, I mean, I like how they've hung on to certain characters too. Simon Pegg is great in those movies. So yeah, those are my three. About you?
Okay. I'm also looking forward to Infinity War. I thought that trailer was great. Now, Age of Ultron had a great trailer too, and that wasn't as good.
No.
By a lot. But I'm just really curious also as to how they're going to pull off having all these characters in one movie. You know, they've kind of said that this is the culmination of a really big thing. You know, it's been over a decade almost since, you know, the first Iron Man. We've been building up to this. And they're not expecting everyone to come out of it, specifically Captain America, Mr. Chris Evans, who didn't really want to do any more of these things. So how they're going to handle everything and then sort of shift it into the next decade of movies. I'm curious about that.
I'd like to see if
they've got them planned for like forever. So yeah. Like, you know, these people will get older. They don't want to do it anymore. People lose interest. How are they going to keep this going? I don't know, but I wouldn't put anything past them these days, you know?
I'd like to see if they could pull that off.
Yeah.
Some kind of passing of a torch and then you don't lose steam.
Yeah, I mean, because it's not like we're losing Ant-Man here. I mean, we're talking about Captain America and Iron Man. Like, Robert Downey Jr. he's not young anymore.
No,
I caught Iron Man on TV the other day, and it's like remarkable how much younger he is. It's 10 years. And it's like, are you going to lose Iron Man? He's one of your biggest characters now. You know, who are you going to replace him with that's going to have that sort of impact on a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just curious to see how it's... I have faith in them that they'll do something well. You know, Kevin Feige is very good at this, as he's proven, so...
No, it's... Yeah.
Yeah.
We should get Kevin Feige on the podcast.
Oh, sure. Yeah. put in another call to his agents. All the people that represent him. I'm sure it's like a little army now. excuse me. I'm also looking forward to this third season of Daredevil.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm curious how that's going to go forward now because they got rid of all the ninjas. So no more ninjas. Just do something else.
Have you watched The Punisher yet?
I have not. Yeah. I'm told it's okay.
It's gotten like no press.
No. I mean, and he's very good as that character.
He's very good, and the character wasn't that bad. Written either, but people forget, like, Luke Cage almost broke the internet when that came out.
Yeah,
like, I was, with all the conversations about net neutrality that have gone on in the last month or so, I learned that 35% of all internet traffic is Netflix. Mm-hmm. I don't think people have
the rest is porn.
Well, yes, but I don't think people have it. Any idea how much that is? That is a tremendous amount because it's the internet. And 35% of it, more than a third of it, is just one company. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. And yeah. Now,
the Gmail chat people have. I mean.
And then when Luke Cage came out, it was a couple years ago, but like, people had a hard time getting onto Netflix because everyone wanted to watch Luke Cage. And unfortunately, Luke Cage wasn't that good. But Phil Shakes said no. It was not that good.
I didn't think it was that good.
So, yeah, but I don't know. I hope. But yeah, I didn't even know they were doing a third season in Daredevil.
Yeah, they're going to do another season. And I think there's another. Jessica Jones comes out in a couple months. But
that I remember hearing. Yeah.
I'm just more curious to see like where they're going to go with all these characters. There's no more ninjas to fight. They got to come up with something else. And, you know, the Kingpin might be back, I think.
He was good, too. I loved him.
I thought he was great. No, that first season was good. He was very good in it.
Vincent D'Onofrio is crazy, but he's also really talented.
Yeah.
So.
And my third thing is Super Troopers 2, which comes out in April. On 420, you know, I can still remember when I was young and the first movie came out, I saw commercials for it on TV. I was like, I don't know, 12, whatever I was. I'm just sitting there going, that is the dumbest looking movie I've ever seen. And every time it's on TV, I will watch it to the end. It's just stupidest fun movie. I made our dad watch it one time and even he thought it was funny. So it's crowdfunded. People wanted this movie.
It's a crowdfunder, huh?
Yep. On Kickstarter and everything. You could get, you know, opening night tickets. You could hang out with the cast and crew, however much you gave. So I'm really curious how it's going to be. It's probably stupid. You know, I just hope it's not a total disaster.
It's one of those movies that was execution dependent. You know, like, the movie's dumb, but if you get Brian Cox to say those lines, it's an entirely different experience than if you get somebody else to do it.
That's true. Yeah. So. And they, I love hearing the behind-the-scenes stuff where they were like, we're five yahoos from nowhere, and we got Brian Cox to be in the movie. And he was just like the sweet old uncle who was like, you need me to say what now? Okay, I can do that. And he would just do the scene, like, perfectly. And they'd be like, yeah, that was good. We don't need another take because we're not going to tell him he's wrong.
That's a feature of British actors, I think. Like, that's one of the reasons that I think Star Wars was such a success when it came out is because they had Alec Guinness. And everyone said, like, you know, he's in this goofy space movie that, you know, could have been Space Mutiny for all he knew. He had no idea. I mean, he got paid. That, you know, the money, the check cleared and everything was good. But, like, you know, he didn't look down on it. And
honey, I'm going to the desert.
You know, he didn't look at everyone and go, did you guys not see Bridge on the River Kwai? I mean, like, he didn't do that. He just showed up every day. He knew his lines. He hit his marks. And he treated the whole thing as you're supposed to, as a job. And
yeah, I mean, he didn't like it. Like, it's legendary now that he thought it was stupid. But he still did it.
Yeah.
And he did it well. Like, it was, you know, he was getting paid to do a job. You're right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he badmouthed it until much later when they were like, oh, how was Star Wars? He's like, it was dumb. I hated it. Everyone keeps asking me about it, but, you know, they paid me.
I mean, if it hadn't been such a phenomenon, I don't think he would have had an opinion about it one way or the other.
No.
But it's because he got badgered about it, I'm sure, for 30 years following that he...
Yeah, it's like Harrison Ford, where it's just like, you know, I was in other stuff, too. Right?
Like, I've made other better films.
Yeah. But the guys who did the Justice League cartoon said the same thing about CCH Pounder. She's not British, right?
I don't believe so, no.
No, but she would come in and, like, stare at them baffled, like, okay, so what am I doing? Oh, you remember... You're the government agent, Amanda Waller. Okay. And what have I done recently? Like, what's the character done? Oh, you just tried to kill Batman. She's like, all right. Okay, whatever. And then she would do the lines so well. They were like, that's perfect. You're so good at this.
You can go. Thank you.
Yeah. Like, that's it. That's all we needed. Like, she was so good that, but she did it so nonchalantly.
And, yeah.
Actors and actresses like that, I think, are really, really talented.
Yeah, it's they're always the actors that I want to hear about, because they, you know, like there's two kinds of podcasts you get on, like, the Nerdist podcast. You get ones like, you know, actually there are three. One's like Gary Cole. Like, Gary Cole has been a working actor in Hollywood for decades. Comes in, you know, whatever you want him to do, he'll do it. He knows what he can do, what he can't do. You know, he just, and at the end of the day, he goes home to his wife and kids. That's the end of it. Then you have guys like Malcolm McDowell, who've got great stories about Sir John Gielgud on the set of Caligula, and, you know, and it's an old gay British man running around with all these naked boys. Like, just nothing but hilarity ensued after that. And, like, this is just old Hollywood stories that you get from Rivers Wolfen. And then there's, like, Oscar Isaacs, who spends 20 minutes talking about the truth of characters and the beauty in this, and Dakota Fanning, who's 14 years old or whatever else it is, and we're going to make the bell jar, even though it's really sad, and we, you know, like, fuck off. Like, it's, I just stopped listening to those ones because I didn't want to hear about that. I wanted to hear about how this works. This business has, you know, co-opted most of our lives in terms of our recreation, and it's fun to hear about how the gears turn. And sometimes you get that from a historical point of view with some people telling stories. Sometimes you get it from, like, Gary Cole's point of view, who it's much more like day-to-day job. This is what I go in and do.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I like that stuff. I know I do.
Right.
I found... It was like the Bryan Cranston podcast, much like the Gary Cole, because they said basically the same thing, where it was like they realized very early on they wanted to be actors, and if they had to live in a shoebox or in their car, that's what they were going to do. And so, like, they treated it like a job. How can I do this and live, you know, not in a mega mansion, but just so I can live not in a shoebox, and the nuts and bolts and that stuff, I think, is very interesting. And the artsy fartsy thing, I feel that's more of a, I have the time to ruminate about these things.
younger people tend to do that.
I'm busy working and I need money. And how could I make this good versus, I don't know, is that really what my character would eat at breakfast? I feel like he's more of an Eggs Benedict kind of guy. Like, I can't relate to that.
Yeah, and it's a feature of younger actors who have been successful early in their careers. You know, that's when you get a lot of, like, ruminating on the whole thing and nonsense.
Yeah. And it's hard to listen to that, especially if you're not in the business. Like, you and I don't work in Hollywood, but we've worked jobs. So I can understand the need to, I have to get my ass up and go to work, even though, you know, maybe I don't really want to. How do I do it? And then I go home and I have a life outside of that versus, you know, I make art for art's sake. You know, I can't relate to that kind of point of view, but I don't think most people can either. So,
no, definitely not. I think a tiny fraction just, can.
You know, they like to hear that stuff. I don't know. And some people just like the celebrity gossip, like the Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah, that's just fun. There's so much cock in here, I can't stand it. I'll never forget that.
I always remember him on The Mentalist. And I was like, they set him up as possibly being the big bad, like the villain of the whole series. And all I kept thinking was, I hope it's not him, because if he dies, they'll have to rewrite the ending. And he's still alive today. And the show's been over a few years. But I was always like, he looks really old. I hope he doesn't die.
It's kind of weathered and leathery.
Yes. Like an old shoe.
All right. So what are we not looking forward to next year?
Okay. So I'll disagree with you in my list here. And I am not looking forward to The Incredibles 2.
Really?
Yeah. I know it's Brad Bird, but... you didn't see Tomorrowland, which was a bad Brad Bird film.
Oh, I did not see Tomorrowland.
Yeah, so it's not like he's incapable of making bad films. Also, The Incredibles worked just so well as a standalone film. It really doesn't need any more. I could be wrong, of course, but I really thought it was great just as a one-off. Like, let's make 10 more Cars films before we make sequels to things that that don't need sequels. And I heard they were doing it, you know, 2 years ago. And I was like, no, please don't do that. But
there's some merit to that. But I think people have gotten so good at making superhero movies that it won't be bad.
I don't think it'll be bad. I mean, when they made a sequel to Toy Story, everyone thought they were nuts. And then they made the third one and everyone thought they were even more nuts. You know, but those are extremely rare to have done that. I mean, because then they made Monsters University, which was cute and fun. I really like that movie, but it's not a classic or anything.
No, it's not nowhere near as good as the first one.
No, it sort of takes away just a little bit from that first one.
Mm. Yeah, we'll see.
So we'll see. I'm just not excited for it because I have this feeling of dread hanging over my own expectations. Mm. So
I'm not looking forward to Solo.
Oh, I also had that.
Yeah. I only have one for this one because I couldn't think of anything else that I saw that was like, I'm definitely dreading knowing that I'm probably going to go see, but I'm probably going to go see Solo. I'm probably going to hate the bejeepers out of it.
Yeah, I'm not either. Ron Howard's doing most of the reshoots.
The reshoots. Yeah, this is all good signs.
You know? Yeah, they had some other guys and they got rid of them.
See, we need a Solo film like we needed Hamlet 2.
Or Titanic 2.
Yeah, you know, that's sort of where I am with this. It's, you know,
like, yeah, what?
No, I had nowhere to go with that. What were you going to say?
That's not the kind of character that you want to see the origin of. Just more wisecracking, except it's not Harrison Ford.
It's a lot like the Grinch.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, you don't need to know why the Grinch is the Grinch. He's the Grinch. And, like, in reality, like, let's take out of the equation The Return of the Jedi, because he didn't do anything in that film. He might as well not have been there. And if we take him out of there, then we also have to take him out of The Force Awakens, because he only did one thing there, and the only reason he did that was because he was around. Like, Mark Hamill had a joke about when they asked him, you know, if you'd come back to do another Star Wars film, he's like, well, I'll, you know, he's like, well, Harrison won't do it because he's too cranky and too rich to do it. So, yeah, what the fuck, I'll do it. And that was his entire decision-making process in terms of signing back on to play Luke Skywalker. But, you know, if you take him, you know, the core of Han Solo is just that first movie. It's just Star Wars. And the opening sequence of Empire. And he doesn't do a whole lot in the rest of Empire. They found things for him to do. Like, he gets tortured. And that's like, he has a great line. One of my favorite lines in that entire movie is when they take him off to that private room on the Cloud City. And that floating ball comes in and you just assume is like torturing the bejesus out of him. And they let him go back to his little cabin with the princess. And he turns to them and goes, "They didn't even ask me any questions."
Yeah.
That's a great line. Jesus, that's a great line. Because it's just like they're just softening you up. They did, like, you know, he was expecting to have to, you know, withhold information or somehow, like, you know, but you know, he makes it work for that movie. But even if he died, it's like, there's so little of him in those movies, essentially, and that's all you need. He's a foil for Luke. He's gives you an idea of a broader universe, but you don't. If you pull back the curtain and you show everybody, as we've learned from Rogue One, it's not always interesting. It's not necessarily bad or weird or confusing. It's just not interesting.
Well, also, I mean, it's not like he's had some sort of character change, no change of heart. He just is that way. He was born a wisecracking rogue, you know. He wasn't like it's not like he was Luke Skywalker type innocent, young, naive farm boy who became this gambling, drinking, shoot first kind of guy, you know. It just, that's his character. So what are we going to be watching him do exactly?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's the issue, that's the angle they're going to take with it, because that's the only angle to take with it. Everyone's Luke Skywalker. You know,
not everyone starts that way.
No, but everybody basically is Luke Skywalker. We all start off young and naive and innocent. That's just, you know, he's a child at the beginning of that movie. And that's what attracts you to him. You know, we are Luke Skywalker. We all want to be Han Solo. We want to be, you know, courageous and cunning and dashing and worldly, and we're not. And you could see that there's, you know, an annoyed jealousy in Luke of Han Solo in Star Wars. But, like, the transformation going from being, you know, an innocent and naive character to someone who's less so, it's fairly predictable. Something bad has to happen to you, or you have to get wise to something, or, like, there's nothing about that that's like, you know, because he's not that bad a guy, too.
He's not when we meet him.
Yeah.
Greedy, I mean, yeah, but not a bad person.
Right. And so, like, a transformation from, like, Anakin Skywalker to Darth Vader is much more interesting, if not executed well in the prequels. But that's a much more interesting story to tell. Like, how'd you end up being, like, you know, the Dark Lord of the universe? Jesus, man.
Whoa. Whoa, man. Yeah, no. I mean, Han Solo doesn't have that.
No.
So I just don't know what they're going to do. And I don't really care. But they're going to make us watch these things till our eyeballs fall out. So. And the last one I'm definitely not looking forward to is Jurassic World 2. Because we need more big, expensive sci-fi movies from the Sci-Fi Channel.
What was that thing that they were, like, the premise of this film is, like, the island's going to blow up, so we should go get the dinosaurs off the island?
Yes. Should we preserve the dinosaurs before the volcano erupts and destroys them all?
No.
No, the answer, yeah. Yeah, the answer is no. We should just let them boil to death in hot magma. But why do we have to send 4 people? I don't know.
They're very dangerous creatures. Have you not been paying attention?
I feel like I was taking crazy pills when I saw that movie. Now, I had been drinking. Because I can remember quite clearly sort of waking up in the middle of the movie. Like, oh, we're watching a movie. I was only drunk a minute ago.
Am I still here?
Yeah. I can't feel my arms or my teeth. And we were like, oh, let's go see Jurassic World. And I'm sitting there drunk off my ass. And I'm watching the movie. I'm like, well, this is awful. And then, you know, halfway through, I sobered up. And everyone walked out of there like, that was pretty good. Oh, I really enjoyed that. I wanted to, like, scream at them from the balcony. Like, what is the matter with people? That was terrible. And then it made a shit zillion dollars. So,
yeah, yeah.
You know, what do I know? But now they're going to make another one. I just like, oh, man. Just let it go. Chinese people like it, so
Chinese people love it. That's what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a shame.
So, anything that you're looking to hoping will fall by the wayside in 2018? I have a thing I thought of the other day that I wanted to mention, but I wanted to see if you did too.
Is it political rants on Facebook?
Well, they're not going anywhere. I'm not unrealistic.
Darn. Yeah. Anyway. No, not that I can think of, no.
I was thinking about, so we complain a lot about Star Trek Discovery and, you know, how it was, we thought it was pretty bad. And we kind of bemoaned the success of Wonder Woman going, this is kind of grading on a curve here, people. It's a fairly mid-level movie. This is not a great film by any means. But then some jackass on Twitter or Facebook or somewhere will say something like, women shouldn't be in movies or drive cars, you know, or, you know, black people can't be, you know, the head of a Star Trek franchise. That's really stupid. And then all of a sudden, the conversation will shift away from an objective critique of a artistic product to, you know, look at these, you know, racist and homophobic and sexist bastards. You know, they're the reason people don't like this show. No one really doesn't like it. They don't like women in movies, or they don't like black people or gay people. And, you know, so what I wish would stop is I wish people would stop being racist and misogynist and sexist and homophobic, and then
yeah, me too.
Voicing that, you know, but specifically with regard, because if you want to complain about something with any of the things that we didn't care for that made our worst lists, there are real things to complain about. You know, how bad the writing or the direction is, or how poorly acted something is. You know, don't bother mentioning the fact that this person is black or this person is gay. And on the other side of things, I wish people wouldn't look at all the complaints about them and focus in on that one idiot whose complaints are superficial and, you know, terrible and, you know, beside the point. And then assume that anybody who has a gripe with whatever that, you know, the show is or the movie is, that their motivations are similar to that person, who's the racist and the sexist and the homophobe. And, you know, I think of a tweet that Jason Isaacs, who was the Captain Lorca on Discovery, you know, he went on, like, you know, a profanity-laden rant on either Twitter or in an interview. He was saying that, like, this and that and this person. And they're like, well, of course that person's wrong to say that black people can't be on Star Trek. Like, it's an easy target, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you're going to deal with criticism, why not look less like an idiot who can't distinguish between legitimate criticism and, you know, racism criticism? And actually, you know, if you're going to engage with it, don't engage with the easy target. Keep your mouth shut. If you think that your show is great and you all deserve Emmys, good for you. Stand by that and, you know, be proud of what you've done. Fine. But if 10 people are criticizing what you're doing, and 9 of them have legit complaints about the quality of the work, and one person has some nonsense about race or gays or, you know, gender, don't look at the one guy, you know, like, that's obviously he's crazy, you know.
Well, I think you're sort of, first of all, you're expecting people to be intelligent enough not to do that. And sadly, that's not the case.
No, I know.
You know, like, I wish people were smart enough not to notice these things. It's not the world we live in. But also, you're also talking about people that can criticize and make an argument, which is not a skill everybody has, unfortunately. They should have that, especially if they went to college, which everyone does now. But even when I teach high school and I'm trying to teach that to my high schoolers, you have to be able to make an argument, which is to say that you're not screaming at somebody going, I'm right all the time. You know, you have to have a position and be able to back that up with evidence. That's all that means. And so, like, when you and I sit here and we argue usually together at the same time, with the, you know, we have very similar opinions, but when we don't, I expect you to come and, you know, we joke, show your work, you know, tell me why. Why is that not what you think? Or why is it, should it be this way? And that's not a skill most people have. And a lot of that is because of their intelligence, whether it be low or high, and also because their emotions get in the way. So I'm sure there were people who will sit here and defend Star Trek Discovery up and down. And there are some parts of it that I like, but there's also a lot of, well, it's a black woman and she might even be gay, and her friend who's, you know, got mental problems and they still accept her and blah, 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 blah. Okay, those are emotional surface level appeals you're making. That has nothing to do with anything. Tell me why this woman is the best fit for this character. Tell me why the writing should be this way. And most people can't do that. And that's why most people don't make good critics. You know?
Right, right. But there are enough, because they come across my news feeds and my, you know, various social media platforms. There are enough people who are doing their best to say, you know, what they think about this.
Oh, and, sure, yeah, yeah.
You know, so
not everybody has to be from Harvard here.
Right, no, but like there are enough. I have encountered enough legitimate criticism, even if it's amateurish or a little bit juvenile, of some of these things, that, you know, it's not stroking egos, but it's not necessarily trying to rip anybody a new one. They're just trying to say Wonder Woman's good. It's not great. It's just not a great movie, you know, and people who really believe it's really great, you know, they're grasping at sort of straws, trying to hang on to something to reinforce that belief for a political reason. And so what they do is that they look at people who are saying it's not great and they ascribe to them, you know, erroneously, the beliefs of that one crank who says something really stupid about women in film. And it's been amplified this year for obvious political reasons. And I'm just kind of hoping it gets toned down in, you know, in the next year, once we all kind of take a deep breath and a deep knee bend and, you know, settle in for the long haul.
I hope, you know, I don't expect that to happen, but it would be nice.
Like, yeah.
Especially on the internet when you have this certain anonymity where, like, the people that are, even the people listening to this, probably don't live near here and they won't come and confront me about it at the post office. So I can just shout into the void and nothing will happen. You know, and everybody has a voice, but now everybody gets to voice their opinions as well. So,
I mean, it's all going to go up Schitt's Creek if, you know, if Wonder Woman gets nominated for a Best Picture Oscar.
Oh my God, it was not that good. It was just okay, everybody.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
All right.
All right, that it. I don't have any big gripes. So
that's it for 2017, everybody.
Yes. So. The age of Trump.
Year one for some people.
Year one, yeah. Hang like in there, everyone.
It's like the French Revolution.
Yeah, at least three more to go.
We change the whole calendar. There'll be 10 months in the calendar now, all named for his kids.
One for his steak company, and One for that school he was running.
Yes. There's a Donald J. Trump State Park in New York. Did you know that?
I'm sure there is. Is that a golf course?
No, it was supposed to be. And like there was some kind of a zoning issue. And so he just donated the land to get a tax write-off. And so they named it for him. So if you're driving up the Taconic Parkway, you'll see Donald J. Trump State Park.
Isn't that the one by the Whitestone?
No. It's up near, like in northern Westchester.
Because there's a thing that has like the Trump golf course, or I don't know. There's a big shocker. There's a big thing with Trump's name on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't walk 3 feet in New York without falling over his name or something.
He's got his name on everything.
You know, he didn't build any of it. He just, you know, sold his name to it.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to start doing next year, too. It's my resolution. Start getting my name out there.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. Do you have any resolutions this year?
I'd like to finish. I'm halfway through a novel now. I'd like to finish it and finish another one before the year ends. That, you know, I'm in pretty good shape already. So I know that's the one everybody always says, but
yeah, sure.
I was at the gym today, so you know,
that's mine. I haven't been to the gym in a long time, since before my son was born. So I've been paying for it ever since. I should probably show up.
Yeah.
But they just actually raised the fee, so that was...
So now you should really go.
Yeah. No, I definitely have to decrease some mass here. It's just...
I heard a very good story once. There's a Japanese writer, and his name is Haruki Murakami. And sure, he used to run like 5 marathons a year or something, which is crazy. I mean, my friend runs 10, but you know, whatever. And all these writing interviews he would give, you know, why do you run 5 marathons a year? What the hell's the matter with you? And he would say, you know, being in physical shape helped me mentally and to do things. Like, so for him, like writing was a strenuous exercise. And to be in shape for that helped him to write over longer periods of time, for however long that may be. And I find that to be true of most things. Like if I'm in better shape, you know, getting through the day is a little easier. I have more energy. My brain works a little better. You know, if you sit on the couch and you're a sludge and all you eat is chicken nuggets, you know, the rest of your body will follow suit and your life will be more lethargic. So. Yeah. Anyone listening, I recommend, and I always tell people, because the year after our father died, I started going to the gym, and I went to the gym every day, 20, 25 minutes. I did maybe 8 or 9 machines, you know, the weight machines. I didn't even do free weights, for God's sakes. And I was gigantic by summertime. Okay, so starting in February, by July, I could do one-handed push-ups, maybe 15, 20 one-handed push-ups. People are like, what, you know, what have you been doing? Oh my God, that's amazing. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Just go every day, 6 days maybe. Skip a day on Sunday or Saturday. Go 25, 30 minutes. That's all you need to do. You don't have to go crazy. You know, it's... I mean, what else are you doing?
Yeah.
How many episodes of, you know, Sherlock can you watch? Or Monk or whatever. Whatever your procedural may be.
Yeah. Now, I mean, it's harder when you have kids, but, you know, you got to fit that time in elsewhere. Do it in your house, you know.
Do it in your house.
You know, just... Bruce Jenner once said, before he was Caitlyn, that the best workout available, and this is a decathlete, everybody, the best workout available was to find yourself a 2-year-old and to do...
Chase them around like Rocky with a chicken.
Essentially, yeah. Do everything that they do for an hour. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do, just do that. You know, if you don't drop dead, you'll be in great shape.
It's true.
Yeah, but it's true. If you, you know, if you sound body, sound mind, if you have to think a little less about the best position to be in to tie your shoes,
yeah,
so you can breathe while you do that, that's mental energy best spent on something else.
Right. And I don't even mean like, you always hear those gym rats be like, oh, that endorphin high after you're done. No, I usually feel like ass after I work out. The point is, like, an hour later, you will have built up life endurance to tackle whatever it is you're doing. So that's the kind of thing that you should be looking forward to when you work out.
So get off the couch, you fat ass.
And listen to our podcast while you're on the treadmill.
Indeed. I want to remind you all that we are available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Search for Three Drinks In Podcast. You'll easily find us. Hit that subscribe button so you never have to miss an episode. Follow us on Twitter, at Three Drinks In Pod. That's at the number 3 Drinks In Pod. Three Drinks In Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to email us, we are at threedrinksinpodcast@gmail.com. So as we all roll into the new year, I want to remind you all to please drink responsibly this New Year's Eve. Find yourselves a couch to sleep on or someone to drive your drunken ass home. Have any good New Year's Eve stories?
No, not really.
Yeah. I have one.
It's
where
like that holiday where it's never as fun as you hope it would be.
No, it never is. The one interesting thing that ever happened to me was I was at someone's apartment. I was at my girlfriend's, this girl I dated for like 4 minutes back in grad school. And we realized like nobody bought any champagne. So,
oh my God, the one fucking thing.
So I said, I'll go get it.
I'm going sure to a funeral without your pants.
I'm sure there's a liquor store open right now. It's like 11:25.
Oh, Jesus.
And of course I ran down the block and like drunks were singing the Superman theme song to me as I was running down Second Avenue. And I remember I was desperate to find a bottle of champagne. I was trying to impress these people. And so I went into a bar that was getting ready to do a champagne toast. And I walked in and I said, "Can I buy a bottle of champagne from you people?" I think they're gonna give like $50 or whatever, you know, because you're gonna buy, you know, retail at that point. You know, you're really not buying wholesale if you're buying it out of a bar. And the guy was just like, "What happened?" I said, "Nobody bought champagne." And the guy just handed me a bottle. He had like 50, 70 bottles of champagne there. He just handed me a bottle of champagne and says, "Happy New Year." And I ran back into the apartment. Like, it's like I walk in.
Driving a Uber over here.
It was very impressive.
He saved the day.
Indeed. So, but you should all drink responsibly whenever you get to your New Year's libations. I'll be asleep by like 9 o'clock. So,
awesome. I can't wait.
No concern about that whatsoever. Yeah. So,
well, hang in there, everybody.
Yeah. Next year will be better.
Yeah.
Won't it? Right? Yeah. Sure.
Could it be worse?
It could always be worse.
We can't have two Trumps.
What's that?
As most people would say, we can't have two Trumps.
I've never heard that.
No, my friends say it a lot. So.
Or can we?
Doesn't matter to me. But anyway.
Yeah, right.
So see you all next year, everyone. Take care.
Happy New Year.